And British police remain stationed outside the Ecuadorian embassy in London after the WikiLeaks Twitter account claimed that Julian Assange was about to be kicked out within hours to days. Assange has been holed up inside the building for 7 years, seeking asylum from charges of rape and molestation in Sweden and unspecified crimes relating to espionage and publishing hacked documents in the United States. Ecuadorian officials have expressed frustration with Assange's behavior while living there, but told various news outlets he had not been expelled. The United States attorney for Assange is Barry Pollack. He says WikiLeaks is reporting that an arrest of Assange is imminent, but little is known because of the intense secrecy that has shrouded the case from the beginning.
The current administration in Ecuador has been far less receptive to Mr. Assange than the prior administration. Ecuador has obligations to Mr. Assange under international law. He has been granted asylum and extended Ecuadorian citizenship.
It seems like every couple of months you have a report that the police are out in front of the Ecuadorian embassy and that he's about to be turned over or walk out or to be evicted, basically, from his residence inside the embassy there. And, of course, the most recent was in the last day or two. We have WikiLeaks themselves publishing this. Is this a real threat of this happening?
I don't think anybody knows for sure. Obviously, WikiLeaks has sources saying that it is a credible threat, and we have every reason to be concerned that it is a real threat, but obviously hope that it is not.
What would happen if he was, in fact, evicted and had to leave?
Presumably, he would be arrested by the UK, and then in all likelihood, the United States would make a request to extradite him to the United States.
As far as I know, has it ever been actually officially admitted by the U.S. government that there is a grand jury looking into Julian Assange and WikiLeaks?
The U.S. government has repeatedly admitted that it has a criminal investigation into WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. The government inadvertently disclosed a few months ago that it has, in fact, charged Mr. Assange, but those charges are not public. And once that filing was inadvertently made public, the government refused to confirm or deny the fact. The government itself had put in a court filing. A number of sources have confirmed that, in fact, he has been charged in the Eastern District of Virginia.
Just coming out and saying we have charges against this guy, why would they keep it a secret?
I think that's an excellent question, and it's one that the Reporters Committee challenged, given that the U.S. government had inadvertently itself disclosed the fact that charges have been brought against Mr. Assange. The Reporters Committee asked that the charging documents be made public. The U.S. government refused to do so, and indeed refused to even confirm or deny what they had already put in a court document, the fact that Mr. Assange has been charged.
How is it that a foreign citizen can be charged with espionage?
That's an excellent question, and it's not at all clear that he can be. A prosecution like this would be unprecedented in the history of the country, and obviously there would be a lot of litigation over whether or not the United States really does have the authority to charge Mr. Assange.
I've done stories in the past about the use of secret evidence, and it's a little known fact that the U.S. in many cases nowadays, at least since 2001, maybe even before, has been using evidence that they don't even have to make public against the person charged. Would we see this kind of thing as sort of represented by the FISA court, where they have a secret court and things like that, or what's been happening in Guantanamo? Would he be taken to Guantanamo, for example?
What would happen is he would be charged in a federal civilian court, in this case the court in Alexandria, Virginia, right outside of D.C. But as in any prosecution that involves classified information, there's a statute called the Classified Information Procedures Act that governs what evidence would actually be made public and what evidence would remain secret.
Chelsea Manning spent a hefty amount of time, 7 years or so in prison, but she did get out in the end. And although she's back in jail on this account, on allegedly being part of this grand jury or being forced to try and testify in front of this grand jury, and then she refused to testify. Do you know anything about what they were asking Chelsea Manning and why she didn't testify?
They were interested in asking her about her role as a source for WikiLeaks, something that she has already testified about in her military trial.
Julian Assange, more than 5 years living in the embassy. In a way, it's almost like being in jail. Maybe it's not as bad as being behind bars, but you're like 90% of the way, it seems. How long could this go on?
Hopefully, at some point, there will be a negotiated resolution, but obviously it has gone on for many years, and it doesn't appear that there's any end in sight.
What is it that the British have on him now that the I believe Sweden, the officials there are not prosecuting him for the alleged sexual harassment charge. What do they have to charge him with in England?
There never was a charge out of Sweden. They simply wanted to interview him as part of their investigation. Ultimately, they did interview him in the embassy in London, and they ended the investigation without bringing any charges whatsoever. That said, they had issued a warrant to try to force him to go to Sweden to be interviewed in Sweden. He refused to do so, believing that if he went to Sweden, Sweden would extradite him to the United States. That is why he originally went into the embassy, and it's actually been 7 years now since he first went into the embassy. When he went into the embassy, that was technically a violation of his bail conditions in the UK while he was fighting out in the UK courts whether the Sweden warrant was permissible. He was out on bail in the UK. By going into the embassy, he was technically leaving UK soil, which was a violation of his conditions. And so to this day, there is an arrest warrant for him in the UK for jumping his bail, even though it relates to a matter that has long since been concluded. In the ordinary course, that would be nothing more than a technicality. He would simply appear in front of a judge in the UK and that matter would be resolved. But under the circumstances, the fact that arrest warrant is out there is significant because if he were to leave the embassy, he would be immediately taken into custody on that warrant. And that would give the United States the opportunity while he's in custody to ask for his extradition to the United States. Clearly, the UK warrant is the tail wagging the dog here. The question is not what's going to happen with that UK warrant. The question is what's going to happen when the United States asks to extradite him.
The world didn't end. No agents got assassinated, as far as I know. What do they got? I mean, all it was some embarrassing emails, basically, right?
I would say the world is a better place. I think that WikiLeaks has published a number of items that it was in the public's interest to know, including that war crimes potentially were committed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Like any publisher, he is publishing truthful information that's in the public's interest. The problem from the U.S. perspective is that that is U.S. classified information. In their mind, he is committing a crime by publishing it. The same could be said of the New York Times or the Washington Post, and that's why I think journalists everywhere should be very troubled by the stance the United States has taken here.
And that's Barry Pollack, a U.S. attorney representing Julian Assange. WikiLeaks on Thursday tweeted the following message. Breaking, a high-level source within the Ecuadorian state has told WikiLeaks that Julian Assange will be expelled within hours to days using the hashtag INAP papers offshore scandal as a pretext, and that it already has an agreement with the UK for his arrest. On Tuesday, Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno blamed WikiLeaks for recent allegations of offshore corruption that appeared in local media outlets and the publication of family photos to social media. Moreno accused WikiLeaks of intercepting phone calls and private conversations, as well as photos of my bedroom, what I eat, and how my wife and daughters and friends dance. And the U.S. Department of Energy disclosed Wednesday that it secretly shipped 0.5 metric ton of weapons-grade plutonium from South Carolina to the Nevada National Security Site. The Justice Department notified a federal judge in Reno. The government had already trucked the radioactive material to the site 70 miles north of Las Vegas when Nevada filed a request for an injunction to block the move in November. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak said he's beyond outraged by this completely unacceptable deception. He said he's working with Nevada's congressional delegation to fight back against the U.S. government's reckless disregard for the safety of Nevadans. The plutonium used to fabricate the so-called pits or triggers used to fire a nuclear weapon had been stored at the Savannah River site in South Carolina, one of two places in the United States which produced the bomb fuel. The other is Hanford in the state of Washington. It had been stored in South Carolina as part of a plan to dispose of huge amounts of surplus weapons-grade plutonium by converting it into commercial reactor fuel. That plan was recently scuttled by Department of Energy Secretary Rick Perry. The director of Savannah River Watch is Tom Clements. He says at the heart of the convoluted story of the missing plutonium are the political machinations of South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
This is really a rather crazy tale, and it underscores how Department of Energy is engaged in a dangerous and unjustified project. Several years ago, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina got a law passed that required plutonium that is stored at Savannah River site to be removed, or for the start of the removal to happen, if a plant that DOE was building to make nuclear fuel out of that plutonium was not operating. So that facility, called Mixed Oxide Fuel Fabrication Facility, MOX plant, has now been terminated after DOE wasted about $7 billion. As a result, Savannah Riverside has been storing about 13 metric tons of plutonium, and a metric ton being about 2,200 pounds. The state of South Carolina went to federal court to try to force the removal of the plutonium, and all this was designed to try to force DOE to continue the MOX project, which it was clear they weren't going to do. So the state won a federal court ruling. The judge here in South Carolina really had no idea about the whole issue. DOE argued that the plutonium shouldn't be removed, and then they lost the case. In November, the state of Nevada got involved. It turns out, we found out in February, that DOE had already shipped a half of a metric ton out of the state of the one full metric ton that they were going to ship last year and this year. So there was no need to do it. It should not have been done. DOE was being deceptive with the public and with the state of Nevada. So here we are with a half a metric ton of plutonium that shouldn't have been shipped. They may have secretly shipped another half ton to DOE site in Texas. So they're just shifting this stuff around for absolutely no reason. It creates environmental and terrorist risks. It should have all been left at Savannah Riverside in safe storage. Plutonium is a byproduct of production of plutonium for nuclear weapons. Plutonium is an artificial isotope that was produced in non-power reactors at Savannah Riverside and also a bunch of reactors in that Hanford site in the state of Washington. DOE and precursors produced over 100 metric tons of plutonium. So in cleaning out the Hanford site and moving some other material and closing down the Rocky Flats site near Boulder, Colorado, which is where they made the plutonium pit or the trigger for nuclear weapons, they shipped all this surplus material to Savannah River site, which already had a 2 or 3 tons of plutonium. So beginning in 2007, Savannah River site began accumulating this material, and it's not in the form that was in the weapon. And it's in other forms, but it's weapons grade plutonium. And it's stored in one of the old reactors. All of them stopped operating in the late 1980s. So it's just been sitting in storage, and that's where it should stay.
Are they going to make bombs with this stuff eventually? Is this part of that $1.5 trillion modernization program they've been talking about?
All the plutonium at Savannah Riverside was what they call surplus to nuclear weapons. It wasn't going to be used for nuclear weapons at all. It was either going to go to that plutonium fuel project, which got canceled, or be disposed of as nuclear waste. And then when the MOX project was officially finally terminated, none of the plutonium had any use, and it's all waste. But DOE, because of the court, pulled a ton out of the stockpiled Savannah Riverside and said they need this for security reasons. Well, they never needed it for security reasons for the last decade, and they've got tons and tons of weapon-grade plutonium in those in the form of a pit or the trigger at Pantex. So they won't say what this is for. They won't even say it's being stored in Nevada. They call it being staged. And they say they're going to take it to Los Alamos in New Mexico, possibly for nuclear weapons production. But DOE is awash in plutonium, and they don't need to be putting this material back into production of nuclear weapons that we don't need.
How many bombs can you make out of a ton of plutonium?
It's unclear exactly how much plutonium can be used for this plutonium pit or the trigger, but it's only on the order of 2 or 3 kilograms. So that would mean about 500 out of a ton. There's so much plutonium for nuclear weapons, and the old pits could be reused that are stored in secure bunkers at Pantex. All this talk about refurbishment of nuclear weapons and building new ones, they already have 5,000 nuclear weapons, as do the Russians. I think the real driver here is the contractors have their own deep state with their hooks sunk deep into DOE, and they're really trying to drive this train to get that $1 trillion in upgrades over the next decade and more. You know, the Russians clamor about building new types of nuclear weapons, so the U.S. has to answer. It never got us anywhere during the Cold War to engage in a nuclear arms race, and now with China in the picture and the knee-jerk reaction by the current administration and the Obama administration to maintain a massively large nuclear stockpile, I mean, it's just crazy, and it would result in more shipments of nuclear components, plutonium and highly enriched uranium. DOE is in the process of trying to build a new nuclear bomb factory at Y-12, which is Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that is the highly enriched uranium part of the bomb. We just don't need all of that, and groups like mine, Savannah Riverside Watch, are opposing these projects, and we're demanding that full environmental impact statement reviews be done so the public can have their say, which we haven't had our say yet, but I predict some of this stuff is going to end up in court if DOE doesn't start announcing that they're going to do environmental impact statements and take public comment.
Tom Clements is the director of Savannah River Watch. Pantex is a government nuclear site in Texas. MOX means mixed oxide, a type of reactor fuel. And DOE stands for Department of Energy, which is the agency in charge of all nuclear weapons.